This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
About. So easy. So you gotta put it in perspective.
There is one more thing. The network has received quite a few angry phone calls from older viewers about our theme song.
Really? I think our theme song's zazzy.
Unfortunately, elderly people who complain about things are our key demographic. We're going to need a new theme song.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm famous comedian, but you all know me for my role on popular show you all watch.
Woo!
This bit is a lot of setup. The punchline is, you love me. I'm doing a weird physical bit. I'm singing a sentence to make it sound funny.
Hey, Allie, just watched your movie. Wanted to see if you wanted to see my perky presenter.
And now,
who wants that?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 8th of August.
Hey, kids.
Hey.
For about 5 years now, it's been very difficult to watch Los Angeles Dodgers baseball games on TV.
Yeah.
You get a few here and there on Channel 5, a few national games. You'll see on a Saturday, maybe. Mm-hmm. But now, once in a while, there's one on YouTube. And that was the case yesterday for the afternoon game. And I'm sorry that I didn't tune in and watch it.
Okay.
At some point, I think we would have seen a fight in the stands.
Oh.
Between Beer Mug and the King of Mexico.
Oh, Team Beer Mug.
Sounds like absolutely Team Beer Mug.
When you go to an event, team anyone but Dave.
Don't even know why yet. But apparently it almost came to blows yesterday, and I'm fascinated to find out why.
Well, first of all, I want to thank assistant producer Christine for getting us the tickets. So Dave, Christine, and I went to the game to watch the 10th walk-off this season for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Unbelievable.
Stayed for the whole thing?
We stayed for the whole thing, and that was my idea. Dave was about ready to go, oh, it's hot. Oh, it's too hot.
When the third inning comes along, Dave's ready to get out of there.
Would you have stayed alone if they left?
Absolutely.
Oh, because you're a fan
Ever
of the game.
Since my mom left the 1988 World Series, I never leave games.
Sure, makes sense.
So before the wonderful walk-off, we're sitting there, and I'm clapping, cheering, and I start whistling, like you do at a baseball game.
A super loud one.
Yeah.
Not like the Andy Griffith theme song. You were like whistling like a sports one.
It's a good choice, though.
Thank you.
Like this. Louder. But
louder,
I can't.
Okay.
It's too early to whistle loud.
So. Okay. So in other words, you were just adding to the general enthusiasm of the crowd, just like other people were...
He was
yelling.
He was catcalling the pitcher.
Exactly. Other people were applauding. You were whistling. Okay. Yeah.
So as I'm doing that, I look over at Dave, and Dave's putting his hand up over his ear, and he's looking all annoyed. And I'm like, is that because of me? And I keep whistling, and then he looks at me and goes, oh, you don't have to do that.
And were you aware that you didn't have to do that?
I wasn't aware of that, but I immediately told Dave, I'm like, dude, this is a ball game.
Right.
I'm allowed to whistle, clap, yell, cheer, pretty much do whatever I want as long as I'm respectful. Oh, no, it's too loud.
He's got real issues, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It does.
Too hot, too loud.
Hey, F you, if you're going to whistle in my ear, do it somewhere else.
I wasn't whistling here. I was two seats over.
Oh. Yeah, and it was still annoying in my ear.
Wait, there was a person between you and him?
Dude.
Wait, hold on. We weren't even sitting next to each other?
We were next to each other. He was literally next to me, just that we had an empty seat between us. But, you know, it's beer mug in my mouth.
Technically, that's not next to you, by the way. Just for the record, that's a certain amount of space.
Thank you.
And you're at a baseball game. Why can't you celebrate, Dave? What's wrong with you?
No, there's one thing with clapping and cheering. There's another thing with whistling a stupid high pitch. Imagine where he's at right now, Kevin, whistling in your ear.
Dave, did you post your rules so that everyone could see him when they walked into the stadium?
Great question.
Did you sign anything, Muggs, before you got in? Nothing. Are you in violation of Dave's contract of fun?
In fact, even on the back of the Dodgers ticket, it doesn't say anything about whistling.
Boom! Yeah.
I should have texted that number and said this guy was offending me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you should have. They would have kicked you out.
Dave's a lot of fun, you guys.
He really,
wow.
He sort of isn't.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
Next time you go to a game, Muggs, A, whistle more, but B, take some beach balls. I mean, like blow them up at your seat and then just start making your section like play nonstop beach ball.
I'm just going to rapid fire them right at Dave's head.
Hey, Bear, don't you hate beach balls too?
Now I like him again. I did hate him until you told me to stop whistling.
Yeah. Excellent.
Exactly. You have to take the opposite side of Dave. Dave will grab a beach ball at a baseball game and pop it.
I hope people boo him.
Oh, they do. They do, yeah.
Does he care? No.
What is your stance on that? Why do you think you're the usher, basically?
And beach balls?
Yeah.
It's because people should be watching the game and not beach balls.
But did they sign that contract too?
Yeah. Now we wonder why people get hit in the stands.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's a direct connection. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That poor child was just focused on a beach ball.
Right?
If she was just watching the game, she'd be alive today.
So, Dave, you're not on your phone or anything like that at a game, right?
Once in a while, but during the breaks.
That's such bullcrap. He was on the phone during the innings.
This is a man that can't even pay attention to our show.
Well, that's true.
So all of a sudden, he's at a game paying 24/7 attention. Give me a break. Dave has never paid
24/7 attention. No. It's not possible.
Thank you, King of Mexico, for the decline of Western civilization. You idiot.
I just think it's funny that he doesn't like beach balls because they should be paying attention to the game, but Dave can be on his phone all afternoon, and it's that he's paying attention to the game.
Yeah, that's how the rules work.
That's how it works.
You've never gone to a game with me. Oh, you have gone to a game with Dave. That's where he popped the beach ball.
Yes.
Insanity.
I've seen it in action, yeah. Were you fashion policing also, Dave? Was everybody wearing stuff that was okay with you?
There were some people that were wearing non-authorized gear, but I'll allow it.
Did you have to throw anyone out?
Almost. So there's a guy who kept standing up in front of us and blocking our view, but we let him go.
People who stand up at sporting events, right? Be crazy.
I agree with the mother.
Yeah, I know you do. If you're at a game, stand up if you have to. Boom.
But also you paid for a seat, and you don't really need to stand for 3 hours, right, too.
Well, let's not get into that then, because now you're on Dave's side.
Yeah, I don't want to be on Dave's side. Right. Believe me. I don't want to be on Dave's side. All right, so crisis averted, then. Everybody's cool.
Did you stop whistling?
Hell no.
All right, good man.
Good for you, Muggs.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
I don't think I have time for this thing, so I'll save this thing for tomorrow.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Anytime now.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell is going to be on the program today.
Love him. So he got this talk show, Jensen, from filling in for Wendy Williams. People said, wow, this guy's really good at this. Let's give him his own show.
Yeah, he's so good at it. It was almost off-putting how good he was at it.
That's who he is. Every time you see him, you go, oh, he's really great.
Yeah.
You don't want someone better than you filling in.
I know.
And when he did it, I'm sure Wendy Williams was like, hey, maybe when I get back, we can find a place for him or something.
Someplace else. Allie's going to bring us a story of people who stopped bathing.
Yeah, by choice.
Stop.
They didn't run out of water.
For life?
This is
for a certain amount of time?
This is a real movement among a sect of people. And we're not talking hippies. These are...
Really?
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle now.
It's a lifestyle, for sure.
Does it have to be?
When I tell you that they say they do not smell at all...
Oh, no.
We're going to talk about that.
I'm going to say sect, yes... Sec.
No.
That's what I'm going to say.
What I'm assuming he said.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where'd you
go? You just cut out. What did you say?
I said sect, yes. Sex, no. Mm. With these people.
Mm-hmm. I see. I got
it. Got it. Yeah.
Highlights of the Ocho yesterday. if you guys watch any of that, but it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Great.
What's up with Antonio Brown's creepy, ugly feet?
Yeah.
What happened?
Those are something.
I mean, is there any way it could happen to me?
Blisters. It could happen to you for sure, if anyone.
It's surprising you don't have those feet right now.
And Jensen has Get Up on this, and we're going to talk about Neighbor Wars as well. This morning, we'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, when I see Danny Trejo trending on Twitter, I get nervous. Because nobody trends for a good reason anymore. It's either a Me Too situation or they're dead or racist weird stuff has come up in their past.
I just hoped it would be, man, are his tacos good. That's my wish.
Not usually a trend.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm.
And donuts.
Yeah, you tried the donuts? Amazing. Well, no, it was for a really good reason. He's known for playing villains, but he got the chance to play hero yesterday. He helped save a baby trapped in an overturned car in Sylmar. He happened to be in the area when he saw two cars collide. One of the vehicles overturned onto its roof, and there was a baby trapped inside, strapped to a car seat. He climbed in the overturned wreckage, couldn't get the buckle off. So there was another person, another bystander, a young woman. We don't know her name because it wasn't Danny Trejo. Who crawled
She's not
in,
famous enough to get credit.
Crawled in from the other side and undid the buckle. Danny then got the baby out, took the baby to safety. The three people were transported to a hospital, but no life-threatening injuries. I feel like...
Called in machete.
If you're in a car accident, you want to see machete.
Yeah, of course.
Like, come and help you.
You're like, this is a dream. This is not happening.
Amazing. Do you think that baby's like, I love your work? You're amazing.
Did you see any of his post-accident interviews, Allie?
I did. There was one that I was going to bring in, but it was so loud in the background, you had to be paying attention to his words. But just such a down-to-earth, cool guy. And it's just, well, obviously, I was here and I had to do something type of thing.
He credited the Lord for putting him in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And he also said anything good, and I thought this was beautiful, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said anything good that's ever happened to him in his life has been as a result of him doing good things.
Oh, amazing. Thought,
wow, that's a way to look at it.
That's who he is, too. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
A wonderful gem of a human being. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, of course. It's Danny Trejo. Of course he's going to climb into overturned wreckage.
This is machete.
And I think if I heard...
You said that to the baby?
Well, I think the baby said, are you machete?
I think there was some urgency to it, if I understand, because there was the smell of gasoline.
Oh, wow.
And I think the fear was, you got to get these people out before this thing potentially blows up, which thank God it didn't. And the first responders were able to get the driver out. And as Allie mentioned, nobody was hurt. But I mean, that was a situation where it could have gone very differently and very badly.
God bless Danny Trejo. Right?
Yes.
Go eat his tacos today and his donuts right now.
Mexicans!
Yes, indeed. You guys, remember when the Academy Awards went without a host?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And the ratings went up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People from the Emmys were watching that, and they were like, that's interesting. So you're telling me we had our lowest rated Emmys on record last year? Of course, you had Michael Che and Colin Jost. That couldn't have helped.
Yeah.
But they have decided they're going hostless, you guys. There will be no host on this year's primetime Emmy telecast. But there are a lot of reasons. They also say they didn't even ask anyone to host. Several names were, bantered about, but they didn't ask anybody. So this wasn't a situation where nobody wanted to do it. They turned it down. But they said... First of all, it's going to give producers time to focus on so
speeches.
Many other elements because several iconic shows are ending their run this year. You've got Game of Thrones. You've got Veep. You can spend a little more time with that. Plus, it's a huge major anniversary milestone for a lot of shows. 30th anniversary of Seinfeld, 25th anniversary of Friends,
yes.
Which you know, Kevin.
Yes.
So could there be big reunion type things happening on stage, big skits?
So you're saying they have more time
there's
in the
more
telecast
breathing
if there's no
room.
Host.
Yeah.
The one thing we do need in award shows is more time.
Might they shorten it?
No.
Also, okay.
Because there are still 27 categories handed out during the ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
27, you guys.
Do you guys think that it is the reason the ratings went up with no host was because there was no host? Or do you think there may be other factors?
No, there's a lot of factors in those, I would think.
I mean, I think we're kind of jumping to conclusions here that no host is automatically better. I mean, let's face it. If you heard Dave Chappelle was hosting the Emmys, you would not miss the Emmys.
That's a that's few and far between, and those people don't take those jobs anymore, I think, is what we've learned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even Jimmy Kimmel was saying again yesterday, this is a no-win situation.
And he
for
won
you.
Twice.
Yeah, and he was great both times.
Yeah, he's done the Emmys and the Oscars.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
I will say that having a host gives you negative press mostly for a few weeks. Like, people are like, I don't know if I like this guy. I mean, it's the same thing over and by doing hostless, you kind of don't get that press.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't, they don't take.
Is that a positive or negative?
Yes, I think it's a positive. Because then, you know, people.
But no one's talking about it.
Well, true.
You know?
It might be better than being like, I don't want to see that jerk for 4 hours.
Well, and I will say, I'm sure what they'll do is just bring out lots of famous people and to do various segments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll still have people on stage doing the job of a host, but it just won't be for the whole show. They'll just break it up.
Let's give it a try.
Yeah. The last time it went hostless was 2003 when the show also aired on Fox. Maybe Fox is just lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want to find
anyone.
Don't
want to spend the money.
The 71st Annual Emmy Awards will be airing live from the Microsoft Theater here in L.A. at L.A. Live on September 22nd at 8 p.m.
Do you remember yesterday when I pitched Friends being the ones that had
yes.
the surprise? Okay.
Yes.
I have another pitch for this.
Okay.
It's on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox's biggest show, Masked Singer.
Okay.
Go with a masked host.
I like it.
And then at the end, you find out who
yes.
it is?
Yeah.
And we can vote the whole time?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd be way more interested in the Emmys if that's the case.
Would be smart. Like an interactive broadcast, that would actually be really smart.
There you go. And maybe even split them up into threes so we get to see three different masked hosts.
Okay.
Yeah. Segment it up.
I like it.
All right. You're welcome, Fox.
What if tomorrow I'm like, oh, change in the Emmys. They have confirmed.
The three masked hosts.
Three hosts, but they all are wearing masks. You won't know yet.
I hope one of them is Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, man. Can he host everything forever from
And I hope
now
he
on?
Doesn't have a teleprompter.
Agreed.
And I hope there's mice on stage.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of television, you guys watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Not one time ever.
I've never seen an episode.
I tried it, didn't like it, moved on.
Mm-hmm. I hear raves about it. People,
yes.
like, people love it.
Yes.
People who watch it, love it.
Yeah, it's been on for like 33 years.
Yep.
It is set for its 14th season on FX, tying ABC's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet as the longest running live action comedy series. And you guys, there is no end in sight for the show. FX Network's chairman, John Landgraf, said yesterday, it's completely up to them. We will absolutely make more seasons of Sunny if they choose to make more seasons of Sunny. They have a job for the rest of their lives.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
And you know the other thing, and I don't know very much about this show, it seems like the people who were on the show when it started are all still on it. Like, I expected
yes.
Danny DeVito dipped into television, and at some point he was going to go, I'm Danny DeVito, I don't need to do TV. Yet he's still going 14 seasons later.
And didn't Caitlin Olsen also have another show
the
at
Mecca,
the same
yeah.
time?
Right?
Like,
yeah.
she's super busy, but she's mm-hmm. still like, nope, still doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. That's a very, very rare thing.
Maybe we should check that out.
I mean, it's a little late.
You know?
Do you have an extra 4 months to catch up?
No, you don't need to catch up. Just, just jump right in.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, what's happened so far at It's Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, we have about 40 seconds.
I left after the first season, and they had a bar.
Okay.
All right. So none of us watch it. Okay.
I always want to when I see people post clips. I'm like, that is really funny. And then I forget.
Too much TV.
Too much TV.
Yep.
Plus, I might have, something wrong
dementia.
With my noggin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you guys. A lot of musicians. Shawn Mendes. Scott Stapp from Creed.
Yeah.
JC Chazé from NSYNC.
Also, yeah.
The Edge from U2.
All right.
Nah.
I mean, he's really the one.
Yeah.
The real one. Dustin Hoffman, happy birthday. Robin Quivers, Howard Stern's sidekick, and tennis player Roger Federer. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
Don't forget, there are many ways to get in touch with the show. You can always text us if you're listening at 1-800-520-1067. We're on social media on Instagram and Twitter at Kevin and Bean. And believe it or not, we still have a website, too. Mm. It's krock.com. Might be a good place to go, for instance, if you missed the Desus and Mero interview from a few days ago. Solid. They were so much fun. The Bodega Boys stopping by. So that's the type of thing you'll find at krock.com. Allie, this is very disturbing news, what you're telling me. Please tell me this is not becoming a trend.
It's disturbing to me in particular because I have a whole shower filled with all different things to get you clean. Right. And if I was friends with any of these people, they wouldn't need them. So there's a growing number of people who are just like, I don't need soap. I'm going to trust for bacteria to do the job instead.
They just rinse off?
They just rinse off using water. Some, maybe not every day, not every 2 days. Some, not
even
every
just water.
Like, no,
no,
not
no.
even a hooker bath.
Nope. Nope. Here's the thing. Remember, like years ago, we kept hearing commercials for healthy gut. And do you have a healthy gut? It could be all of your problems are your healthy
that.
Gut. Mm-hmm. And then every commercial after that started being, this contains probiotics. And people were like, okay, this all goes together because probiotics were live bacteria, healthy yeasts that are good for you. So those good bacteria attack the bad bacteria in your gut. Now you're a happy person. You're not all gassy. Your intestines are cool.
Okay, so all good.
This seems kind of like it's the same route. Mm. And I was reading about a woman named Sarah Ballantyne. Here's the thing. She dropped 120 pounds doing the paleo diet.
Whoa.
She started seeing her skin conditions improve, and she was like, huh, what if I went a step further and was inspired for other principles during that Paleolithic era?
Like?
They didn't use soaps. They didn't use lotions. They didn't use deodorants.
It was even hard to find an actual shower stall in the paleo times.
It was. It was. And if you did, there was like, the water just came out in dribbles.
Sure.
There was no way fix that. Here's the thing. If you think about it, it does make sense. We were never showering every day. Until what? Maybe the 40s, 50s?
But we didn't know we smelled every day till the 40s or 50s.
But, by the way,
you get used to it.
Well, if everyone smells, then you don't notice it.
Yeah, I guess.
But, Allie, you were, when my dad was growing up, I think it was a once a week thing. You took a bath once a week. That was a week. That was the way
bath
it
worked. Or shower, right? We're talking about
well, there was no shower.
Any kind. Okay.
But, once a week.
Here is the thing. I'm going to tell you about a couple different people, Sarah being one of them, who did the paleo diet, lost all that weight, and decided she was going to
be a caveman.
Be kind of like a cavewoman type of thing. Mm-hmm. She says she doesn't smell at all. This man, David Whitlock, has not showered or bathed for 15 years.
15 years?
He has no body odor.
No.
He says he saves about 15 minutes a day, which is cool, but his primary motivation was to encourage the friendly microbes to live on him in symbiotic harmony. Here's
he
the thing.
He can't smell himself the same way people can't smell their own houses,
no,
right?
No, the bacteria gets to feast on the ammonia from sweat.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's this low maintenance balanced skin. Then his skin comes into perfect harmony and there's no sweat smell anymore. It takes time for this to happen, but if you
How
really...
How much time? 15 years?
It's just starting now. But if you really think about it, we live in this highly sanitized environment now. If you have a cold, you're using antibacterial soap. If you just want to wash your hands, you're using all different soaps, then usually putting a lotion on after. We had none of this before.
Right.
But you know what we also didn't have a ton of before? Psoriasis, acne, all things that are caused and skin irritations because maybe we're over cleaning our skin. We're taking away the good bacteria that needs to be there to feast on the bad bacteria.
Just to clarify,
mm-hmm.
you want us all to stop showering.
No, I'm just saying why these people are doing it.
Okay.
Because at first I was like, y'all are
because
gross.
You're making it make sense.
It does make sense.
Okay.
Am I going to do it? Hell no. It's too much for me. This woman, Sarah, says that she sweats so much after her hour-plus CrossFit sessions that she sometimes leaves a sweat angel on the floor after. But she doesn't smell and sometimes doesn't even rinse off after. She can go from sweating buckets to just getting dressed. She doesn't smell at all.
I literally couldn't do that. I literally would have to shower. At least rinse off.
What about your butt? You know how terrible your butt feels?
Oh.
You know how butt feels all day?
Oh, it's swamp ass for sure. But now about once every 5 days, she will get in the shower with some water, and she uses alternative products made with mushed up plants, clay, seaweed, all other natural ingredients. She's now been doing that for 3 years. All of her skin conditions have improved. She had psoriasis. She is not turning back. Here's the thing.
Hold on, Allie.
Yeah.
She's saving so much time not dating, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, does it say there that she also relinquished all her friends?
Well, she is known as the paleo mom. Mm. So she's got this big following. But there are different companies now that are back-ordered for their stuff, like this David Whitlock guy I told you about. He has a company called Mother's Dirt, and Mother Dirt's it's a mist which contains a strain of good bacteria that then eats the smelly bacteria that you have and then puts you in complete balance. It was backlogged for 9 months, you guys.
That's because they're making like one bottle a year because it's ridiculous.
They're like, we won't sell more than five, will we?
You guys... I mean, bacteria lives on our body. If we're taking away the good bacteria and replacing it with, you know, good smelling soaps, all that stuff, we kind of need that good bacteria there.
So you're saying we shouldn't shower?
I'm saying maybe we try it for 3 years. Let's give ourselves 3 years, you guys.
Muggs, how far are you into trying this?
I think this is all BS. To be honest,
that wasn't
with you.
The question.
But yeah, this is day three.
Okay. So.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
As someone who for many years lived in a bright pink house, I am curious for the phone topic that we have coming up about what's acceptable for your neighbors to do and not do to their house. And how it develops sometimes into neighbor wars. So we'll be discussing that coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Thursday morning about this time means it's time for Get Up on This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Very excited to get you guys up on something very regional here in Los Angeles today.
Okay.
Mm. It's well worth the drive, though. So, if you live kind of far away from it, I'm still standing by.
All right.
But if you live in the San Fernando Valley, particularly those geared in the 818, I have something that I think will be a perfect night out for
Go
you.
Go on.
Now, here's the thing about nights out as an adult, right? As a kid, you could find like a can and you have a full night. Like, just kick it around the backyard, whatever you want. Like, but as an adult, it's harder to find these kind of things. You can either go to a bar or a movie or dinner with your friends. There's about four options we have. Well,
you're talking about the axe throwing?
Well, that is a good fit.
That is a good
option.
Right by my house.
I think it's just roller skiing?
I think it's completely unsafe. But here we are. Something off the beaten path.
Okay.
If you're a fan of Korean barbecue, that sounds like a cool thing, right?
Yes.
If you're a fan of pinball?
Yes.
Boy, even cooler.
Okay.
Oh, God, are we putting them together?
We're putting them together.
Oh, no.
This week, I'd like to get you up on an all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue
pinball
bar. You
can't get us up on something that is only good for you.
I'm here to argue that it's good for everyone.
You're saying if somebody lives, let's say, in the 714, worth the drive.
Yeah.
Worth the drive.
Absolutely. I'll get into why.
All right.
Well, you know, listen, you have to have a whole night out. You know, I'm not saying go do it for lunch, but I'm saying if you're looking for a whole night out, right? It is an all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue pinball bar called Ace Goji, located at 7128 Van Nuys Boulevard. It's not only what I consider to be the best Korean barbecue in Los Angeles, which I do, right? I think it's that good. But it's also the best pinball arcade in our area.
Those of you that don't
Shut
know...
Shut up, you dork.
All right.
Those of you that don't know Jensen enough know he's a pinball head.
I'm a pinhead.
He's crazy
about it. It's a large... But also, this is really getting you up as well on the food.
Okay.
It's very good. It's a large dining room area that will sometimes have a wait list during busy weekends, lunches and dinner items sometimes, but you can actually sign up for a wait list on Yelp. Okay. Lunch runs from
Kevin, can I borrow your email?
Lunch runs 10 to 3 p.m. All you can eat is about $20. Okay. $25. The menu for all you can eat is extensive. Okay.
Okay.
Do you guys not like Korean barbecue?
I do. I love it.
Like,
I love it. I love it.
Okay. I mean, despite...
There's no other place that has a standing line in Van Nuys, by the way.
That's true.
It doesn't exist.
Also, it has a very weird, almost Scarface-esque statue in the front.
All right.
Of, like, a dude holding up a big globe. Okay. I've never
is it
asked,
scary?
I've never asked why, but it says Ace Goji on that. So.
Okay.
All right, here we go. It has all the side dishes you're used to from Korean barbecue. All that stuff is taken care of. Kimchi, corn cheese, rice paper, whatever. But like I said, there's an insane amount of choices as an all-you-can-eat. I also don't know many places that are all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue.
I don't know any.
Mm-mm. Right. Okay, good. Ramen, noodle plates, dumplings, all sorts of fried rice. I'll run down some of the meats quickly. Traditional bulgogi, brisket, top sirloin steak.
So hungry right now.
Yeah, I'm not helping anyone.
Damn you.
Pork ribs, sausage, spicy pork, apple pork, calamari, octopus, shrimp. All these things are things you can order within the all-you-can-eat, okay? Few rules. 2 hours max sitting at the table. Entire party must be there to be seated. Don't waste your food because they'll charge you for it, which is the right thing to do.
Oh, interesting.
Well, because you can't go in there
and
order 50 things and then just leave them on your table. There's people starving, like, literally outside in Van Nuys. So don't be a jerk.
Fantastic.
They also have combos and lunch specials. Okay, in the back, let's get into why this is a different place.
Okay.
Almost hidden. So hidden that the first time Danielle and I went, we had to be like, where's the pinball machines?
Oh, you heard about it, but you didn't know? You couldn't see?
Didn't know.
Interesting.
Hidden in the back, it's called On Tilt Pinball. It is a large and dark pinball bar with some of the best and newest release pinball machines. They hold tournaments. They have leagues, they have release parties for new games, and even the most recent release, the critically acclaimed Willy Wonka pinball machine is there. It's the only one here in Los Angeles that has it for right now. And yes, it was recently featured on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but please don't hold that against it. Don't hold that against it. That's not fair. They're also pinball machine dealers, so if you actually want to spend the money and buy a machine for your house, well, they can do that for you too. And there's a private party room at this venue.
Oh, that's fantastic. Birthday party?
I could have my 40th birthday. I could hear Bean rolling his eyes.
I am looking at their Instagram, and I am starving.
I'm hungry, not looking at
their... Because it's great. Oh. It's 21 and up, at least when they're serving alcohol in the back, which I believe is most of the time. This is an adult hangout.
Yeah, okay.
This isn't for kids.
All right.
If you're a pinhead like me, some of the highlights of the 20 games they have in the back. By the way, that's a lot of pinball machines.
Yeah.
20 is a ton.
What a nerd alert.
Oh, speaking of that guy, Jack Black is in pictures at this place.
So Jack Black recently, that's true. Jack Black,
that was
so
Jack Black's
weird.
Voice that you
Bean,
just heard.
By the way, helping me sell the thing he thinks is nerdy. Jack Black recently just called it his favorite place in Los Angeles, did a whole Instagram story about going there. I think he's now obsessed with pinball and buying machines from them as well. Ones that you can get there, Willy Wonka limited edition, Dialed In. The Beatles have a new machine that's really cool, platinum edition there. Batman 66.
That one's kind of overrated though, right?
New Black Knight game. Monsters, Metallica Platinum. Anyway, all those are there. So let's go over Ace Goji one more time. You can have all you can have all you can eat Korean barbecue for under $30.
Amazing.
You can
going to that anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, without the pinball.
I agree with you. Pinball can either be the highlight or just the actual side dish. I agree with you. Okay. You can get drunk there and you can play great pinball. It gets no better, but it does because they're opening one 3 minutes from my house. In West Hills, so they're opening a second location at the Fallbrook Mall for the 818 heads out there. The old hometown buffet is now going to be an Ace Goji.
All right.
Guys.
I've been there.
This is extremely focused on me, but I genuinely think that everyone would have a lot of fun with all-you-can-eat great Korean barbecue, alcohol, and pinball.
Sorry, I don't speak geek.
I think I'm all in.
I'm in, all right. For sure.
Well, at least we have almost a... You know who we won't invite?
Who?
Bean.
Yeah.
That's my get up on this.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K Rock.
Have you seen the Emoji House fight in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did. It's also pink, by the way. Big, bright pink house with two huge emojis on it.
Mm-hmm. How did it get to that? We'll tell you.
Well, there you go. Emojis are, of course, their own language. You can express almost anything with them, but each face can be interpreted a little differently. That's why this so-called emoji house in Manhattan Beach, well, some people want to paint it over.
Some neighbors are so upset about the emoji on this house, they're taking the battle to remove it all the way to city council. Tonight, the Manhattan Beach City Council got an earful.
I think it's really a chilling effect to the law that somebody who gets shut down is going to have retribution like this.
Some who live near the now infamous emoji house want the city council to make the homeowner remove the emojis.
Can you imagine being the city council and going, really? Like this, really?
Well, I want to hear more, but I have many thoughts on this. I mean, I'm all for painting whatever you want on your house, but I don't know what the street situation is, and it's possible it has become an Instagram destination that is a pain in the ass for the neighbors.
Absolutely has.
The bizarre paint job went up in May after the homeowner had to pay about $4,000 in fines after two neighbors emailed the city and complained the house was illegally being used as a short-term rental.
So he was renting it out to people and the neighbors didn't like it.
Yes,
so
I, they complained. I had that in my old building as
you
well.
Did.
Yes.
Neighbors complained. He came back with the emoji paint job as retribution.
Neighbors say the emojis are a public nuisance and an act of retaliation. Tonight, a handful of homeowners showed up to complain but declined an on-camera interview. Dana Dahl demanded action.
I want that taken down.
Dahl and other homeowners are worried the emojis will bring down property values. The Manhattan
okay.
Beach...
Yep. Okay, hang on a sec. If I paint... If this person in Manhattan Beach... And again, this is a neighborhood where most of the houses are painted kind of the same neutral palettes,
yeah,
tans,
yeah.
And whites.
And so they're this pretty house, thin. They're pretty thin, so you don't have a lot of space. Mm-hmm.
This house definitely stands out.
Correct.
But if I had painted or the homeowner had painted the Mona Lisa on the front of their house, would people be complaining about it?
Well, are we, that's part of the story.
Yeah,
are people, we splitting hairs on just what the artwork is?
If people are pulling up in front of it, stopping, causing traffic jams to take an Instagram picture in front of the house... Yeah, that's going to bring the money of your house down because people don't want to live on a busy street.
Plus, there's nothing but space on the streets in Manhattan Beach.
That is right. Nothing. We've learned that.
A lot of parking.
Right.
But I will say there is a whole other angle. I don't know if the news story gets into it, but they think that the emojis are direct disses to the people who turned them in for Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like the eyelashes on the front emoji that's like big, kind of large eyelashes is a reference to the woman who wears big fake eyelash extensions who gave the first complaint about that.
I respect that kind of shade. I really do.
That is the pettiness I love.
You're down with that?
I think it's very clever. I don't know. I'm really uncomfortable with not being able to paint your house however you want to paint your house. I really am.
Well, then you run the risk of the house next door to you having poop emojis all over that.
Or swastikas.
Do you want that?
Mm. Yeah, what about swastikas, Bean? Are you, you hate Jews?
I think that was quite a leap.
Just escalated quickly.
That was quite a leap. Look, I think paint whatever you want on the house. I mean, obviously there is such thing as poor taste. I mean, swastikas, I think almost everyone would agree would be inappropriate. I mean, that is, you know, that's...
Almost anyone.
That's anyone but beans.
That's a hate crime, I'm saying. But this is just, it's an emoji, for God's sake.
It's
sakes.
Two different emojis, first of all.
And okay, but I say who cares? Let the woman have her emojis. That's what I say.
I mean, look, that's what they're fighting over. They want them to freaking paint over it.
The Manhattan Beach City Council didn't take any action on this meeting.
Excellent.
But neighbors say they're going to keep fighting. They're going to take the battle next to the Planning Commission.
Now, we want to talk about neighbor wars, and there's one brewing there in that neighborhood on 39th Street, Manhattan Beach. I seem to remember a time that you told us, Kevin, that you were having neighbor wars, not with one neighbor, but with neighbors on both sides of you.
Yeah, it was weird. You'd think it was me.
I mean, just based on what we've heard so far, you do seem to be the common denominator.
The day we moved in, and we brought our dog over, a golden retriever named Allie.
She sounds great.
Sounds like a dog.
Moving stuff in, new place, whole thing during the day. Neighbors come over, and my wife answers the door, and they say, good news and bad news. Good news is we're your neighbors. Bad news is you're going to have to put your dog down.
Put your dog down?
Gosh.
What?
And I said, I wasn't there to hear it, and I said, they were clearly like, that was just a bad joke.
Yeah, it's a funny joke.
You try to be funny, but it wasn't. Yeah. No, not smiling in the least. And I went over to talk to him that night. And I was like, why would you say something like that?
Were they allergic or terrified of a dog or what?
You know, those super aggressive Goldens.
They're famous for ripping your face off.
It's an old, old dude who wrote for television and he would write during the night and sleep during the day.
Okay.
And so then we got into the points of the law and all that kind of stuff. So I just put up a video camera and I recorded a full week of how much our dog was barking. And I just took it over to him. I was like, here you go. This is the last week, 24/7, of the dog not barking during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry about that. And I never heard from him again.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Shocking, right?
Well played.
He actually just stopped.
He's still watching the 400 VCR tapes.
You probably.
Or he died.
He's not quite to the end of the week yet.
What about the other neighbor?
The other one was a fence. And we said he took down like all of the greenery so that you could literally see from house to house. And there used to be a wall of greenery.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it all down. So
greenery on his side of the fence?
It was on both.
Okay.
So he took it all down. So he was like, what?
we'd like to put up some more greenery and just maybe make it a little bit taller.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I'll just take it back down.
Wow.
Right? And I said, okay, I mean, I'll just put it back up. I wasn't sure, like, if he was joking or not.
You have some weird sense of humor with your neighbor.
He repeated, well, I've never met them. So yeah. He repeated again, I'll just take it down. I was like, okay, we'll just put it back up. And he goes, I'll just take it down.
Could you put a hedge on your side of the fence?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It sort of goes, you can't control whether it's completely on your side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So finally I said, is this the most childish argument you've ever been in before?
And he says,
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Heaven. I mean, what a chill neighborhood.
It was insanity. And then really sort of never heard from them either. We put the fence up, waited, nothing. Hmm. I'm like, okay.
Could you have killed both your neighbors and not remember it? Because you never heard from either one again.
Yes. They're both dead?
They're both dead.
Maybe I did block it out.
They're buried under the fence.
It's like possible. Kevin just goes into a rage and has no idea.
Blacks out. Jensen, you said the magic word here, petty.
Yeah.
The kind of petty stuff you like.
I love it.
Yeah. The pettier, the better.
You're a messy bitch and you love the drama.
Yeah.
That is what we are looking for. 1-800-520-1067. You can call or text. What's the petty thing that you did in a neighbor war or a neighbor did to you? Allie, real quick, you want to talk about your neighbor with the pettiness?
I had a neighbor that would leave his television on at about a 30 for his dog
while
he was at work. I had 5 roommates at the time. This was in college.
So an apartment.
Okay. So we were like, please, you've just got to turn it down. Your dog isn't enjoying it. None of us are. And he's like, it's not even that loud. This went on and on. Police came by. They left notes saying, you know, noise complaint, blah, blah, blah. So finally we decided, okay, well, let's F with him. So we had a friend that worked at a pizza place, mm-hmm. and they would come by 3-4 times a week at 11, 12 at night with the pizza delivery that he didn't order. And this guy had his own parking spot, a reserve spot, that we would have a friend of ours park in every day when he came home. And in the time it would take him to get a tow truck, we'd have our friends move the car. And it got to the point where it was too much for him, and he moved. So
he just
our
gave
pettiness
up and moved.
Made him move, but didn't
nice
hear a
work.
Dog listening to, you know, Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Look it up, kids. That was a show.
Well, at least your neighbor is still alive, unlike Kevin.
Right?
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Petty Neighbor Wars. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Really quickly, let's talk to Brenda and La Puente. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
We are good.
Great, Brenda. Thank you for listening. We're talking about petty neighbor wars, fights between neighbors over the tiniest things. What'd you do?
So I was best friends with my neighbor's daughter. We were about 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
So us being little kids, we collected all like the neighborhood newspapers that would come to our houses.
Okay.
And we decided to throw them over from my parents' fence to her parents' house. Her dad came home and was livid that we had thrown the newspapers. He came over to my parents' house, started yelling at my mom, started mm-hmm. yelling at my brother,
yeah.
threatened them, had the cops, or he called the cops, and ended up actually filing a restraining order between my mom, and my mom filed a restraining order over him.
Wow.
Whoa. That escalated.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is why people want to be police officers for jobs like this. I don't understand. Why were you throwing newspapers over the fence into your neighbor's yard?
We were just being little kids playing games. And
okay.
I don't really remember what was the reason behind that.
Is he allergic to ink?
Bad experience with the printing press.
Yeah.
You should have hired Kevin. He would have taken care of your neighbor. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Brenda. When the police get involved, that's the kind of story we love, right? 1-800-520-1067. Petty Neighbor Wars. Your call's coming up next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
We are talking about really petty neighbor wars. Mm-hmm. The pettier, the better on the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41. Sorry.
From the 562 texting in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm a land surveyor. Every time the housing market crashes, neighbor wars are the only thing that keeps us afloat. Lee writes in an email. I had a neighbor. We had a latticework fence that was terrible, falling down. It separated our properties. I said to him, I wanted to tear it down and put up a new cedar fence at my expense. And he said, no. Why would you say no,
Bob? Why would you say no?
I told him either agree to it or I'll put the fence on my side and go all the way down the side of his garage. He'll never get a breeze again. He continued to say no, and that's exactly what I did. Oh, and by the way, I used to throw my dog's poop between my fence and his garage window just as an extra F you.
Wow.
That is Lee in Tustin. Thank you. Let's go to Brian. You are Belinda up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Line 2. Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Neighbor Wars. Hey. What up?
So my neighbor has dogs, and they just bark all night, all day for no reason. So I just fired up my industrial torch, and that thing just puts out so much smoke, black silt. And wherever the wind goes, that's where it goes, and I just let it go for 6 hours at a time, and it blows all over.
That's terrible.
And depending on the wind, it goes... It's great. Depending on the wind, it goes right to his house?
It goes to his house, whatever's house, doesn't matter. Wherever it goes.
That is a terrible...
So you're napalming your whole neighborhood.
And the dogs, though. The dogs have to breathe that horrible air, though.
And the humans.
And the humans, too.
Don't forget about the humans.
Yeah. I'm just saying, don't do that.
No, it's great. It's a big smudge spot. You put oil, diesel, kerosene, whatever you want.
Definitely not causing cancer either. No, I get it.
No, that sounds super safe.
Yeah. I love Brian because we're saying don't do it. He's like, it's great. I got to tell you, I love it. I really love it.
It really helped.
By the way, dogs don't bark for no reason. They bark because they're bored. That's why they bark.
Or
they
put on the TV at 30. That's what you
do. Yeah, exactly.
Or they bark because they've been taking in fumes and smoke for weeks.
And they're trying to get a doctor.
Yeah.
Who wants to bet that Kevin is going to Google industrial torch?
Already.
I was already
Let's
excited.
Go to Denise, line 6, La Habra, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Neighbor Wars. She's got a good one.
Hey, Denise.
Hi, good morning. First
morning.
Time caller, long time listener.
Thank you. Whoa, wow. Very special day for us then. So what's your story?
So my upstairs neighbor and I in our apartment shared reserved parking spots next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always park way over the line, and I was next to a wall. So I would just park so close to his car that he could never get in. And it went on for months that he would have to crawl over. And I think he just got sick of it and went on his vendor parties every weekend. He threw a puke bag over his balcony onto the tree next to our door.
Oh!
Ew.
Puke retaliation.
And I didn't know what it was, but the door just kept smelling, and I finally told my landlord, like, I don't know what it is, but this bag smells. And she ended up opening it while I was gone, and it got all over her.
Allie is legitimately gagging.
Man, yeah, that's rough. I'm so surprised.
Set match neighbor.
I'm so surprised, though, that your neighbor would continue to park over the line knowing that it wasn't going to leave him enough room to get into his car the next morning. That's a weird choice for him to make.
After like a week, it would change, but he just kept doing it.
Wow. Did you move?
No, I've been there for 6 years. I'm not moving.
And Puke Man is still there, too?
No, he moved after. He got evicted after a year.
Okay, there we go.
All right. Karma is real.
Yep. Denise wins this one. All right, thank you for the call from the 626 Petty Neighbors. Hey, guys, this is Myra from Covina. When I was in high school, my sister and I would blast K-Rock while hanging out and having lunch in our backyard. The lady next door would yell at us and threaten to call the cops. My sister and I then proceeded to throw our PB&J sandwiches into her swimming pool.
Oh, what a waste of PB&J.
And yes, she did end up calling the cops. I don't know. I think that one might have been on Myra. All right, let's try Wendy. She's in Torrance. She's on line 4, talking neighbor wars.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, good morning. I have one that I think anyone would have done.
Okay.
So I moved into a 2-on-a-lot. There were houses.
Yep.
And the neighbors behind me, I never saw them. But my electricity bill was enormously high for no reason. It's a tiny, maybe 700-square-foot house.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept leaving notes on their door. Do you know anything about this? Is our electricity combined? I tried the property management company. No one would respond. This is decades ago, before internet and cell phone.
Right.
So I finally got sick of it. So every time I left the house, I'd go to the electronic panel, turn off the electricity, lock my side of the garage and leave.
So you really the whole time thought that your neighbor was siphoning off your electricity?
Absolutely.
How much did your bill go down?
Well, of course, everyone responded immediately that day when I got home from work. What's going on? The electricity's off. I'm like, hell yeah, I've been paying your share.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so way to get their attention.
More than half.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. And I ended up want to mess with Wendy.
No.
Seriously, that's money.
Right. Is it okay if we say goodbye and thank you for calling and hang up, or would you prefer us not to, Wendy? Is there a different way you'd like us to handle it?
Yeah, we're serious about this.
You can choose, but you...
All right.
There it goes.
Oh, Kevin! Wow.
There it was.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Great Jerry O'Connell, Hollywood treasure himself, joins us just after 8. Allie's here first with what's happening on a Thursday.
Remember Gapgate yesterday?
Yeah.
People really upset seeing pictures of Dakota Johnson on the red carpet smiling away, and people noticed.
It tore the country apart,
it
Allie.
It did. The gap in her teeth was missing. Oh my God, please leave me alone while I just deal with this. People were asking for people to Venmo them during this hard time. People were really upset.
I almost didn't come in yesterday.
I get it.
I decided just to play hurt.
I get it. Here's the thing, you guys. She was on Jimmy Fallon last night and said, I'm really sad about it, too. Are you ready for what happened?
Yes.
It was not cosmetic surgery. She didn't have dental reconstruction. She said she has had a permanent retainer since she was about 13, just kind of glued to the back of her teeth, and she was having a ton of neck problems recently. So her orthodontist said, hey, let's take off this retainer, see if it does anything with your jaw. Maybe you're tensing up your jaw, causing your neck to feel bad.
The retainer just became a permanent part of her mouth?
I've never heard of that, huh. But I'm not an orthodontist. I'm not. I know. It's weird. Yeah. I'm a dentist.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Her jaw basically expanded with it off, and the teeth closed in together. Wow. You guys, the gap closed all by itself. She didn't mean to do this.
That's hard to believe.
I'm not going to lie, Bean. I thought that too.
That does sound like the deviated septum nose
job. Yeah,
that's somebody who does not want to admit to cosmetic surgery.
And like nobody noticed except for in these pictures on this red carpet. Like, wouldn't someone have seen her before? I don't know. It's all very odd, you guys. It's all very odd. Mm. I don't know.
Did anyone think of any more famous people with a gap in their teeth?
I think we covered yesterday.
I think we pretty much nailed like 20 of them.
Maybe I'll just not say Elton John then. But
that is a good one. Shoot. You guys, I don't know if you're like me. I love hearing stories about somebody that passed on an iconic role and trying to figure out if you could have pictured them in it.
And like, there's almost no famous actor who hasn't passed on a role that went on to be great, right?
Because
you get offered so many things, you only have so much time to work.
Molly Ringwald passed up the lead in Pretty Woman that went to Julia Roberts.
Yes.
John Travolta passed up Forrest Gump.
Thank God he did.
Oh, absolutely. Michael Scott from The Office, Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm.
You know who they originally wanted? Paul Giamatti.
Whoa.
What? American Psycho. Of course, Christian Bale played Patrick Bateman to a T.
That was genius.
It was originally Leonardo DiCaprio's role. Then Johnny Depp, then Brad Pitt, then Ewan McGregor, then Edward Norton. All those people passed, and he got it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know who was supposed to play Jerry Maguire? Tom Hanks. You guys.
Tom Hanks. Jerry Maguire.
Hanks, but he was too busy with something. But you know who else was offered the role of Jerry Maguire? Before, of course, it went to Tom Cruise, who was amazing.
He was great, yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
He's got a gap tooth.
Okay, excellent. Here's what he said. He said, I was offered, what's the Show Me the Money movie? Jerry Maguire? This was an interview that he recently did with Esquire. But he told the producer, and I quote, nobody's going to give an S about an agent.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that fascinating?
It is, yeah.
I think he would have been good.
I think he would have been great, but honestly.
It's a weird alternate universe to think about these
movies.
Because
I feel like Tom Cruise really nailed that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So it's hard to picture.
Have you ever seen the Eric Stoltz footage from Back to the Future? That one, like, it almost messes with my balance.
Yeah.
Seeing a different person as Marty McFly.
And I love that even Eric Stoltz was like, yeah, I wasn't good for
that. I wasn't that person.
It wasn't supposed to be mine.
I mean, the fact that he got hired with that horrible facial disfiguration
alone, I just think it's
impressive that they were willing to give an actor.
Yeah. No, that was a role. It was a role. It was makeup.
Same
prosthetics and...
Cher was his mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his mom was Cher, so he really had a leg up in show business, too.
You're right. Okay, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Mm-hmm. And then he gave his friend Watts earrings and said, you look good in my future, because he had taken that money out for his college.
No, I'm out. No, I don't.
Some kind of wonderful,
It sure
maybe?
Was. Thank you,
Bean. It's harder to find a more obscure pull than The Mask, but we've done it.
I almost went sleep with me, too.
All right.
You guys, we've talked about my big Eric Stoltz situation, right? I was in love with Eric Stoltz. Mm-hmm. I've seen everything he's done. Love me a ginger, you guys. Some birthdays.
Wait, that's the end of the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy the movie rights to your
story. Would you like it? I mean, people are lined up on it. Shawn Mendes, Megan Good, J.C. Chazet, Dustin Hoffman, The Edge from U2, Scott Stapp from Creed. I mean, people love him. Robin Quivers and Roger Federer. And that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
And now, a public service announcement from The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, this is Jensen. I lost my father in the heat wave of 1945, so this hits close to home. Stay cool and beat the heat and stay hydrated. And if the ghost of my father visits you, please don't tell him where I am.
The Kevin and Bean Show. We care.
We're going to talk to Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell here in a second. We're getting him on the phone, but Kevin, real quick... What was on the Ocho yesterday? Did you ever find out why the Ocho was on the Siete this year?
I did not know that. They didn't really explain.
Usually
they
put it on the 8th, right? Sure. It's on 8-8, right? Mm-hmm.
Usually, but it wasn't yesterday. They put it on yesterday, and it was magical.
What were some of the shows that they had gone?
The Slippery Stairs was mm-hmm. my favorite.
What's that?
They put 100 gallons of lubrication on a white,
like a tarp type thing?
No, it's a staircase that's covered in, like, real slick material.
Okay. Oh, no.
And then they put 100, and they're wearing helmets, and they race to the top, and they fall, and they take everybody out. And it sounds so stupid until you watch it. You're like, come on, Trent, get to the top. What's wrong with you?
Did you spend any time watching the pizza dough flipping?
I didn't see the pizza dough flipping. Mm-hmm. I saw the head ping pong table.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
Which is the best. Yes.
People play ping pong only with their heads.
With their heads, yes. Mm-hmm. And those guys do it so much better than most people can do with a paddle.
Nervous for their necks.
It's like unbelievable.
They were hitting it hard dangerous. With their
noggin. It was stuff on all day, and I was so bummed. I had some appointments and stuff, and I couldn't go, so I taped 24 hours of ESPN2.
Excellent.
I have a lot to look forward to. So it's like a whole day of holy moly, essentially.
Yeah,
is what
it's just
it is.
Bizarre. There was chess boxing. So they would box
That's your
around.
Favorite.
They would box for, well, drink chess boxing was my favorite. They box for a round, then they sit down and play a round of chess, and then they get back up and box again.
And by the last round, are they just like, what are these pieces?
I didn't even get to them.
What are we playing? It's like they're brain dead.
Is this checkers?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And by the way, chess boxing, if I remember correctly, is not something that, you know, kids came up with 5 years ago. Like 100 years ago, people were chess boxing.
Yeah,
I think.
It's crazy.
I think it has a long, long history.
We'll tell you the story of how it got started in a few minutes.
Oh. Excellent.
Talk to the guy who created it, and you might be surprised beer was involved.
Oh,
no.
In that decision. That?
Yeah. Always the best decision.
Surprising, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, highlights of the Ocho from yesterday coming up. Also, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky happens just after 9 o'clock today. We're going to talk about Antonio Brown's feet.
Oh.
And how we can all avoid that. What's the update on Mr. O'Connell here?
I see a number that keeps popping up and dropping. So it's almost as if Jerry is calling, letting it ring, and then going, nah, I'm not into Kevin
and
Bean.
And changes his mind up everything
every
we say.
Single time. Yeah.
Now I'm not into chess boxing. Oh, but yes, the slippery step seems cool.
I'm nervous he's listening.
Yeah, something's happening with that line. It keeps dropping.
It's ringing. What do you know, Dave? Anything?
Yeah, I'm calling him, and it's going straight to voicemail.
I mean, I can play the highlights of the Ocho if you want.
Well,
I mean,
I think you're going to get them. I mean, it looks like we're close to happening here.
All right.
It's ringing. I'm very comfortable with nothing on the air, by the way.
Oh, I love when
it's
silent.
Should we just be silent?
I think it'll help.
Yeah.
Alarms go off here when it's completely silent.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You want to test it?
Yeah.
Let's test it.
No, they don't go off.
They don't care anymore.
They
don't care anymore.
When
they don't even listen to it.
When I started working with you guys at the old building, my first day we had dead air and alarms went off, and I went, well, that probably happens once a week.
They have like a police siren outside the door and stuff. Here, they don't care. They're not even sure we're on the air.
Is anyone checking that Dave's dialing the right number?
His voicemail. It's going straight to voicemail.
Mm. And it's his voice?
Damn. No, it's not even going there.
It's going straight to voicemail, but not there.
His publicist,
I was just saying that it's going.
Maybe listen, though. Dave, maybe.
That was Noel.
I know that you're hearing that it's going straight to voicemail. Maybe listen to the voice. And if it's like, hi, you've reached Cindy.
No. It is. If it's, hold on. I'll call on this phone, too. Keep talking.
Okay, this is good.
I hope it's Cindy. Awesome. I'd like to talk to her about Jerry O'Connell's new talk show.
Yeah. You know what I think would be fun is we all share our Jerry O'Connell stories, because I know we all have them. Allie, you had run-ins with Jerry when you were doing the news, right?
Yeah, he is a huge fan of local news, and he loved KTLA, and I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but he would literally drop by the station just to hang out, say hi to reporters and anchors.
Just chat.
It was mostly the evening show, which is funny because I didn't know people watched that one. But yeah, he loved local news. So I would love to know if he's still doing that. That's just bizarre.
That is weird. I've never heard of that before, ever. I would think security would stop that from happening.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd be allowed to just stop by and hang out at the news.
It's Hollywood treasure, Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, that's true.
It's not,
true.
Jim from Silmar.
And Jensen, what did you see Jerry do one day?
I went to Jerry's house to go swimming. It was like 100 degrees. He lives in my hometown. And he invited me over to swim, which was very fun, with his cute twins. He's got very cute little daughter twins. Mm-hmm. And we had a great day barbecuing. He has this like little vineyard in his. It was just an adorable day, and a very sweet and subtle and kind.
It was an adorable day.
And then as I'm leaving, he's waving and he's like, bye. And I'm leaving his driveway, and he reaches over and I see him. He looks very like a completely different feeling than the whole day. He looks very aggressive.
Oh, no.
And he reaches over and he pulls out a machete, and I was like, oh, God. And then I just see him start stabbing the floor as hard as he could.
What?
And he killed a rattlesnake. Yeah, as he was saying goodbye, he was like, bye.
Hey, have a good day.
Smiles, reach down, angry face, machete, kills rattlesnake.
Wow.
Are you sure there was a rattlesnake?
Yeah. I drove back up.
What if he just snapped?
No, I drove back because I was like, what is
wrong?
Wouldn't it
be funny if he just snapped and he came at Jensen?
And I made sure. It was a snake in two pieces.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has, he contains multitudes, doesn't he?
He really does. Mm-hmm.
Jerry O'Connell is hosting the Jerry O Show. It is going to debut Monday, August 12th at 10 a.m. on Fox. Please watch it. It's going to be great, and it is a preview, so it's very important that the ratings are good for those 3 weeks that he's doing it, because then they'll give him a full-time show.
And here's the other thing about Jerry. He's going to hear that this didn't work out, what I mean, like the phones or whatever. He'll have some story about it, but he will feel so bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's just work this into him coming in as a
guest. That's what I'm saying.
I like
something. Whatever we want to do, let's try to figure it out.
So our story is we're really angry.
Oh my God, so
upset.
And then we found out that he hates the news and rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's
what
a killer.
Is
that's what we found out. Yeah. He's a killer.
He's a murderer.
Yeah. And turns out that dead body that he went to see as a kid, he killed the person.
Whoa.
That's
plot
our
twist.
Stand By Me reference.
Plot twist.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
I can't go on. Bean just said he's never seen a Jim Carrey movie other than Truman Show.
I can't.
You never even saw Dumb and Dumber?
No. Kevin will vouch for me on this. Not for me.
That's not for me.
Too dumb for me.
Dumb and Dumber is I'm going to just say it. It is a classic.
It's a great movie.
I'm not denying that people enjoyed them. I'm not mad at anyone who watched them and liked them and loves them.
I can't believe you live in a universe where smoking doesn't make any sense.
Look, not for me.
Bruce Almighty?
Not for me.
Never seen it.
Liar, Liar?
Me, Myself, and Irene?
I haven't seen any of these movies that you are describing.
Oh, my God.
The Majestic?
I don't even know what that
is. No, it's a terrible movie. That was where Jim Carrey got very bad.
Yeah. All right, we're going to run out of time here if we don't get to this.
All right.
By the way, the latest thing is that Jerry O'Connell was outside and maybe in a terrible spotty service area. So that may be. Did I say Jim Carrey? I'm sorry, Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell. I'm like, that was a weird Jim Carrey.
I know, it was a very weird thing.
Really tracking him. Smoking. Yes.
Jerry O'Connell, because we were trying to get him on the phone. We were having some connection problems. So who knows? It may still happen or we may do it another day. But I don't think he hates us. I think he just couldn't get in touch with us.
Yeah, I agree.
What was happening there. All right, Kevin.
We have to believe that. Being otherwise, we get our feelings hurt all the time.
Of course, yes. Come on. All right, we talked about the Ocho a few minutes ago. You didn't get a chance to see as much of it as you wanted to, but you do have some highlights.
I did bring in some, yes. The Ocho was on yesterday.
And you should explain what that is for people who don't know.
Well, it's the network that covered Dodgeball in the classic movie Dodgeball. And they called it the Ocho, and it was ridiculous. And so ESPN started doing sort of a comedy full day of programming like that, where they would go out.
Alternative sports.
They would find ridiculous alternative sports. Like, I haven't had time yet to watch the Spikeball Challenge, the Lumberjack Championship, the axe throwing. Gosh. I haven't been able to catch up on the stone skipping competition.
You have to have a certain wrist movement.
Right? They do talk about that. Revenge of the Dodgeballs. I did see Jugglers. Mm-hmm. Jugglers, the Revenge of the Dodgeballs. So there's a guy in the back juggling, and they're playing dodgeball. The other team is trying to get him to stop juggling, and then he's got defense in front of him. Okay, it sounds stupid when I say it this way.
I thought it sounded kind of cool.
No, it sounds amazing. And you did a good job. One of the guys that won, super hot. I don't know if you noticed that. He's juggling pins.
I didn't notice that as much. He's the guy that didn't get hit in the nuts?
No.
Okay. There was the Cherry Pit Spitting Championship.
No.
Okay. Right. There was the School Bus Figure 8. There was Lawnmower Racing, which I will introduce you to in a minute.
Wait, School Bus Figure 8? They had to, like, drive around into a figure 8?
I didn't get a chance to catch up on it
yet.
I just know that I recorded the whole day.
I think that's a good guess, though, Allie.
And there was chess boxing, and at the beginning of it, they wanted to know, how did chess boxing, where you play around a chess and then box and then play around a chess, how did that come to be?
I used to play a lot of chess with my friend Jean-Louis Feinstra, and then I moved to Berlin, and I picked up boxing in this old GDR boxing gym. And when I came back to Amsterdam, I met my friend Jean-Louis Feinstra in a bar, and we were having our second beer, by the way, and I told him, well, I feel great, I started boxing, and you know, like, gives me a lot of energy, and he says, wow, me too.
All right, how does it get from boxing makes me feel good to chess boxing?
And he said, like, you want to fight me? Yeah, sure, I want to fight you. And then it all came together, because I recalled this comic where there's a depiction of a chess boxing fight. And I said to Jean-Louis, we're going to do a fight. We're going to do a chess boxing fight. And 8 months later, we ended up in an old church doing the first chess boxing match.
Let's go!
Rumble your brain. 1,000 people showed up at that. At the first chess boxing. Now, they had the cornhole championships.
Sure.
Yeah.
The U.S. big in cornhole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love cornhole.
Americans are the greatest cornholers in the world.
By the way, that's very true.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
This is the final. They don't mention cornhole, but it's the final. And you can hear how crazy. I think all this has to be done with beer.
Has to.
You have to feed the crowd beer in mass amounts.
Guess what round it is, Trey?
Get up.
The Ocho.
Oh, the Ocho.
Push it.
And it could be the round for USA.
Push it.
I don't know what the guy in the background is yelling, push it. I'm not sure what that means.
You want to push the beanbag out of the way.
Out of the way.
Yeah. Okay. He's just a big salt and pepper fan.
Gotcha. Look at the smirk on Henderson. What's he got up that sleeve? Ho-ho! And that will do it. Supreme across the globe. Woo-hoo! Dominating Canada 26-5. Henderson and Hisner over Sullivan.
This is the count. They're all chanting USA.
A lot of people
like
there.
Crazy.
I mean, 26-5?
Right?
That's it was huge.
It makes the women's soccer win seem stupid.
Let's go down to Stormy.
Well, Trey just said it. You guys got that signature win that you guys have been waiting for all year with the Team USA chants in the background. How good does this one feel?
I'll tell you, having anybody supporting you is a great feeling.
I got to tell you, I've done it in complete obsolescence for my whole life. And to have more than my parents there is really exciting.
Canada must really be hanging their head in shame this morning after that, though.
Right? The Slippery Stairs World Championship I mean, it's the first ever, but they just came up with it. But here's a description.
From Costa Mesa, California, on the grounds of the OC Marketplace, welcome to the very first Slippery Stairs World Championship. So we have 100 gallons of lubrication getting ready to spill onto the white stairs. Zoe, it's going to be exciting. Your thoughts about what you might expect from this?
Honestly, it's going to be wild no matter what. They already say that they don't know what to expect, but they really don't know what to expect.
That's right.
All these surprises.
It should be a lot of fun.
Okay, it sounds terrible, right? Mm-hmm. And then it starts.
And they are off, but they're not running. They are slipping and sliding on the slippery stairs.
Now it sounds worse.
Yeah, I don't think this is my favorite of the sports you've highlighted.
And then you get about 3 minutes into the race, and I was voting for Trent, but then Shane came on, and I did not know what to do.
Shane has a step. It looks like he's going to go all the way.
Yes.
But maybe not for long. Super grab Shane, and the pack goes down. Trent's all alone. Oh, no, he's not. He's going down.
Wow.
Are there any obstacles in their way? Like,
nope,
are they throwing just, any? No, it's
they're
just
all
pure?
Going. It's a staircase that has walls.
Yes.
And there's too many people to sort of fit in the space.
Yeah.
So if you go down, you
you're
take
taking everyone
down.
With you.
And this is considered athletic? Or is it just like
they
like
wore
wipeout? Wipeout.
They wore
they
helmets.
Wore helmets.
I mean, it seems more like wipeout.
Okay.
Except for direct competition with other people.
Yes. Kevin, would you consider this just like a bigger, grander version of trying to climb a greased pole, for instance?
Yes, sure.
Similar thing, right?
Yeah, exact similar thing. But they take a half hour or an hour on ESPN, the Ocho, to do that.
I love it.
And they have commentators, and they act like it's been going on forever, and it's ridiculous.
Some people might think this is lawnmower racing.
So they show like a 1970s vision of a little guy on a riding lawnmower, and this is how they get into the lawnmower racing.
Wrong. Perhaps this is more your speed. Souped up grass cutters going in excess of 80 miles per hour through chicanes and straightaways. This is high octane lawn care, baby.
Okay, come on.
Upwards of 80 miles per hour?
Yes, on lawnmowers. Riding lawnmowers.
What is it, like replace the engine?
Yeah. They soup it all up and then they do it full.
Fast and furious.
I loved it.
80 miles an hour on a lawnmower.
This is high octane lawn care.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Then they had something that I really did get into, and I was very surprised by this, which is old school Tetris.
Okay.
A tournament of old school Tetris. And this is the one where the little blocks come down, and then you have to line them up, and then rows go, you know, disappear.
Yeah, but they're using real people, not just
no,
the video
no, no.
game?
No, it's the video game. Oh, okay. It's the old school
Tetris. Just two people sitting in front of an NES?
Yes. Right. And you're watching it on the screen.
It's time for action here at the 9th Annual Classic Tetris World Championship in Portland, Oregon. It's held within the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and thousands of expo attendees are present to witness the greatest Classic Tetris competitors face off to determine a champion.
All right, so I'm like, I'm going to watch Tetris on TV? Mm-hmm. How's that going to be good?
After nearly 2 days of grueling competition, only four players remain. Two are Japanese grandmasters, one being the elder statesman known as Corion, and the other being his young friend Green Tea, both having traveled thousands of miles in hopes to wrest the title from their U.S. counterparts. And from California, there's the 16-year-old prodigy Joseph Saley, who rewrote the record books, training for this first world championship, becoming the first player to reach level 32.
Okay, I didn't play Tetris that much. Is that good?
Yeah.
I assume level 32 is pretty high.
Yeah.
So now it becomes a battle of the USA versus Japan. Because they've got grandmasters.
Get ready to chant.
It's ridiculous.
Pressure is on the kid right now.
So basically what happens near the end is it's just the two Americans. It's a guy who's won seven championships in a row. Who knew that was a thing? And the 16-year-old kid.
Well, how did a 16-year-old kid get into the original Nintendo? That you got to ask,
That's
too.
A great question, because he is in the final.
Yeah, he wasn't even born.
Is he build going on?
Always going for the Tetris.
He held out. Boom, Tetris for Joseph.
17 piece trap. There's
the
low bar. There it is, Tetris for Joseph. And York.
And we have a new Tetris World Champion.
All right, now I just want you to listen to the announcing as they go.
16-year-old Joseph has done it.
He is your new Classic Tetris World Champion, taking it away from seven-time champion Jonas Neubauer. The young kid on the block, he has done it. Unprecedented results here.
A true prodigy.
And the emotions are coming out now.
He's crying. He's sobbing. He's sobbing because he won Tetris.
The emotions are coming, and you can see 16 years old and without 16-year-old kid from California would never have an experience like this. Look, he is beside himself with emotion right now. And here comes his mom to congratulate him. Sister, mom.
So, he says, maybe, here comes his mom to congratulate him. And then you see her from behind. She's a brunette. And he goes, sister, mom, I don't
know. By the way, this kid should have invested that time in Fortnite and won the $3 million.
Oh, no. He
like
won
the
like,
other kid
he
did.
Won like $250 in this one.
He did, yes. Yeah. And I wanted him to say, F you, green tea.
But he didn't. That was disappointing.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
You guys think Dave's just playing a prank on us right now so because we made fun of him earlier today?
Yes.
For stopping Beer Mug from whistling at the Dodger game?
Possibly. Because so he pretends to have Jerry O'Connell on the phone, and then we go, okay, let's talk to Jerry. And he goes, psych! And
which then he did last there. Time. Now yes, he's saying exactly. He's on again.
I think he's punking us, man. I think we're going to, let's see, we're going to go to this phone, and it is not going to be Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell. That's my guess. Hello there.
It's going to be Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell.
There you go.
Hey! Yeah! Yeah! First of all, I want to say hello to everybody there. Very old friends of mine. You guys were the first to call me Hollywood Treasure. And then, do you know, I did something for, like, the Hollywood Reporter. And the dude says, as Kevin and Bean calls him, the Hollywood Treasure, Jerry O'Connell.
Well, it's was true then, and it's true now, Jerry. And we're happy to catch up with you. And we're very excited about seeing what happens on our TV this Monday at 10 a.m. on Fox. How in a million years did you ever think you would be a guy hosting a daytime talk show?
It's an insane story. I filled in for Wendy Williams, the talk show host on Channel 11 there in L.A., and I'm basically the substitute. I'm like a substitute teacher on TV who is now like getting a job on the faculty.
Okay.
Or like the principal. Like, you have like your own show.
Well, I guess, yeah, Jensen. I guess it would be like the principal or the vice principal.
Okay.
Or, you know what? I'm like a substitute teacher who's now a guidance counselor.
There you go.
I like
okay.
it.
Okay.
There
you go. Right.
With tenure.
Much more clear.
Right.
With tenure. I don't think so. I'm one bad segment away from them pulling the plug and Wendy coming
same.
Back.
Well, that's what we were urging our listeners. We were talking about the show earlier. We were saying, look, this is a being called a three-week preview, so it's very important that the ratings are good. So we are urging everybody to make sure to DVR and watch the show starting at Monday at 10 a.m. on Fox because we want you to get this job. Now, what are your particular qualifications are to be a talk show host? Do you have a natural curiosity that makes you want to interview people, Jerry?
Guys, I hate to tell you, I don't have any qualifications whatsoever to have this job.
I mean, it's not like you can go to school for this job, right?
I mean, I guess you could go to, like, journalism school.
That's worth nothing.
I don't know what to say. I'm shocked that they gave it to me as well. I know I'm supposed to come on here with, like, a lot of confidence and be like, this has been my lifelong dream. I knew. I had a vision of it, and now it's all happening, and I read The Secret, and everything is happening for me. It's literally Wendy Williams goes on break for the month of August, and she said, hey, listen, they want me to test a show. Do you want to be that person? And I was like, give me the mic. Let's go.
What the hell?
I mean,
right.
Honestly, you may not have seen it coming, but anyone that knows you goes, yeah, of course.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
And when he filled in for Wendy Williams, it was some of my favorite television. He basically, in a very fun way, just read the same script Wendy would and just did it kind of as Wendy would have. And it was infectious and funny, and it makes sense to me.
I do watch Wendy every day. It's where I get my news. Wendy is my Wolf Blitzer. And so I'm very much influenced by her. But you know what? Also, I was pretty close to the running for getting that Ryan Seacrest job on that Kelly Ripa show. So I think that's what really put me in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm normally just like a F-list actor.
Oh, come Jerry on. O'Connell, American Trek.
Okay, E-list
okay.
actor.
All right, better.
Speaking of your friend Jensen, who you've been friends with for a long time in real life, Jensen, have you...
Drop the mic, everybody, on TBS.
don't yell that too loud,
we'll
Jerry,
see.
Nowadays.
Maybe
we'll see.
A little too late for that plug, Jerry. does Jerry know Jensen, the update on the art project that you two did together?
I hinted to him a little on text, but, you know, we got to to face Shia LaBeouf face to face here at K-Rock. I apologized for what I thought was semi-bullying. He accepted my apology. We had somewhat of an emotional moment.
Yeah. Explain what how you were spoofing.
Well, basically, Shia LaBeouf opens an art exhibit on Beverly here in Los Angeles. I thought it would be funny in a quick way to work with Funny or Die to absolutely remake the same exact art exhibit as him, but next door. Literally, we were touching walls with his art exhibit, and we pretended had the same exact things, but at the end of the art exhibit, where you were supposed to meet Shia LaBeouf, mm-hmm. we replaced him with American Treasure Jerry O'Connell.
Hollywood Treasure
yeah. Jerry O'Connell. And it was a great bit, and we ended up getting more press than Shia. I knew deep down that it hurt Shia's feelings, because I had heard, and also I just knew it would. And so I always felt like I bullied him, and so when he came in here, I apologized. He teared up. It was a nice moment, mm-hmm. but I don't think he was done with Jerry O'Connell's apology.
Let me apologize on air to Jerry O'Connell, who I mad dogged like a motherfucking street hard.
You can't say that either, Shia.
Sorry.
So you tried to take it out on Jerry?
Yeah, I didn't take it out on him, but I saw him one time at a coffee shop and just kind of like, I like looked him in the left eye for like 45 seconds, like, I'm going to suck your soul out of your face. So Jerry O'Connell, big love, bro.
Did you remember?
That is unbelievable. I gotta tell you, this is so funny. I saw him in that coffee shop. This is going to blow your mind. Jensen, this is going to blow your mind. Yeah. I don't think I ever told you this story. I saw him at that coffee shop, and he was staring at me in a menacing manner.
You noticed that?
And I was like pointing at myself like, are you looking at me, man? And I got to tell you, I didn't even recognize him. I didn't know it was Shia LaBeouf. He's such a good actor.
He
doesn't have a particular look, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kind of looks like, if you live in Los Angeles, someone who lives in downtown L.A. or Los Feliz, you know, he looks like a hipster. He's got the keychain, the tight jeans, the tight T-shirt.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah. Why is he staring
at
me?
And he was staring at me, and I was like, what is this dude staring at me for? Like, I have no beef with it. I live in Calabasas. I'm like, I have no beef with anyone. And I actually pointed at myself, and I was like, are you looking at me? And he was, like, staring at me the whole time, and then nothing came of it. I was like shrugging my shoulders, like, do you have a beef with me? And I didn't even realize, and then it didn't hit me until the end of the day that it was Shia LaBeouf who was staring at me, and we did that thing
spoof
for Funny or Die.
Well, he apologized to you.
I want to apologize to him. Nothing is apology. I'm apologizing for spoofing him. He was doing art. You're right. He is a great artist.
I think the common denominator here is that we can all blame Jensen.
That's true.
Yeah.
It all points to me.
He is the instigator.
Yeah. It all points to me.
And hey, Jensen,
you know, I do want to say this. I'm super proud of Shia LaBeouf.
Me too.
How about that?
Yeah. I said it to him.
Agreed. Yeah. That's what you came around to, Jensen, is you said, I realized that I was the a-hole because you were trying to do some art and I shouldn't have been making fun of that.
Yeah, and also he's just
Every story has a moral. Every story has a moral, and here's the moral to this story. When Jensen calls you up and says, let's make fun of this celebrity, you gotta go and do it because it's the story that keeps giving.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we can put that to bed. Everybody seems like everyone's cool with everyone else, so that's fine. Who's your first guest Monday on the Jerry O Show as we say goodbye, Mr. O'Connell?
Guys, you guys are in, obviously, radio personalities big time.
Mm-hmm.
Our first booking is Kelly Ripa. How about that?
Ooh, okay. All right. Your inspiration. Sounds good. Have a great show. I know you do the thing in New York, but whenever you're back home, please come see us. You're always welcome, Jerry.
Hey, I learned all my broadcasting skills from you guys.
That's not good.
No,
don't tell anyone that.
No.
Thank you, Jerry. Bye-bye.
Hey, we have an amazing segment, too, where we have, like, rap battles off with each other.
Oh,
it's
no.
really funny. It's an idea I came up with myself.
What a great idea.
Listen, at least you're using it now.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
All right, we have many of us, if you're on social media at all this week, you have been horrified, terrified, and practically vomited when you saw football player Antonio Brown's foot.
Do we have to post all pictures of damage?
All the feet, really.
I think this one's worth it. I mean, Quentin Tarantino requested it, so we're putting it up. He is, am I wrong? He's with the Raiders, right?
Yes.
He's with the Raiders. Okay, and before we get into the chirogenics of it, describe what they look like for folks who haven't seen the photos at Kevin and Bean on Twitter or Instagram.
His feet?
His feet, yeah.
It looks like the entire bottom half of his foot is a giant blister.
It looks like he has, like, mucus packets.
It's gross.
Like, all throughout his feet.
It is said that it was a result of him going into a cryogenic chamber without proper foot protection. And even though officially here his representatives have not acknowledged that that is the case. So I wanted to talk to Dr. Drew about the cryotherapy because I've only ever heard about it. I know it's really, really cold. But what's it all about and why do people do it? Hey, Dr. Drew.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I'm looking at said feet.
Right. Yes.
It's a lovely picture. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a second-degree burn. That's what that is.
Can you get that from a cryogenic chamber?
You know how if you hold dry ice, it will burn your hand?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the exact same thing. It looks like he walked onto a surface that was... Or maybe he stood on the surface while it froze to, you know, very, very low temperatures, and he burned himself.
There's not much of a difference between a burn and frostbite, right?
Frostbite's a little different because that is actually the whole tissue, let's say a toe, the entire toe freezes. This is the surface of the skin into the soft tissue burning. A little different.
Do you buy his explanation then?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this some kind of mishap in the cryogenic chamber. And have you guys ever, anybody there ever done this?
I know Joe Rogan was trying to get Kevin to go with him at one point, but you guys never set it up.
I mean, I said, sure, I'll meet you there.
But, I mean, this is what I'm confused about, because apparently Antonio Brown and other athletes use it for workout recovery. But
it does help. Soft tissue, just like, you know, you ice areas. Or I think people understand that helps reduce inflammation. It's all about inflammation and blood flow. That's what.
Okay, but this is 200 degrees below zero.
It's pretty crazy, right? I've done it.
Oh, tell us why and what it was like.
Hey, can you send us a picture of your feet, Drew? We'll put it up on Twitter.
No reason.
My feet are pristine, I'll have you know. Emily Morris, who used to do Loveline all the time with us, she goes, hey, I got a friend with a cryo unit. Want to try this? I was like, all right, I'll try it, because I have a bad shoulder and a bad back and all this stuff. And it essentially doesn't do much if you do it just one time. But, you know, athletes would not waste a lot of time doing this kind of thing if it had zero effect, right?
So you think they can feel it if they do it on a regular basis?
I think it does help recovery. I think it does help inflammation in soft tissue. When you look at the literature, though, it's not FDA approved for anything. It hasn't been scientifically, objectively shown to do much. And cold water, immersion therapy, like remember ice baths they used to
get? Yeah, a lot of athletes do that.
They still do that.
Baseball
guys. A lot of them.
That actually measurably better effects than the cryo unit.
Is that right?
Okay, yeah. Doctor. 200 degrees below zero is hard for me to get my head around. There has to be a point at which it is dangerous to be exposed to a temperature that is too cold.
Well, if you need to be supervised for one thing. And obviously, it's interesting when you look at the caution, you know, these people shouldn't be going to the cryo chamber. It's essentially anybody with any medical problems of any sort ever. You know, if you have COPD, if you have pneumonia, if you have heart failure, if you have heart disease. So it being used for a medical treatment is sort of ridiculous because everyone is excluded if you have a medical problem. But if you're not supervised, I mean, there have been cases of people dying in them, you know.
Oh.
They just get left there? They pass out, fall down into the chamber, and die. And that has happened.
Not worth it.
But it was refreshing, and it was... I don't want to criticize my experience. It was quite good. It was quite nice, and I felt maybe a little less pain in my shoulders, and maybe that was placebo afterwards. And I certainly was more awake. And in terms of tolerating the cold, it's kind of like boiling a frog. It's less uncomfortable than you would imagine.
I'm so surprised by that, because if I go into the water, like in an ocean or a lake or something like that, and it's 65 degrees, it's way too cold for me to be in that water. I can't even imagine below zero.
I'm the same way. And especially, you know, I used to be a lifeguard and dive into 55-degree water. Now, if it's not 72, I'm not going in. And so, yes, I'm a pussy too, being that's right.
What's this with boiling frogs?
Well, the animal rights activists, please plug your ears. It's a term design. People that cook frogs claim they're doing it more humanely because the frog doesn't notice it's boiling to death.
Right.
It doesn't feel
if it's hot
it.
Enough.
If it's slowly, if the temperature goes up slow.
I had never heard that. I was like, why are you all boiling frogs? Yeah, we all looked at each other like, what are they saying?
Think about it, Allie. If you drop a frog into boiling water, it would be incredibly painful.
Okay. Try it today.
After the show.
But yeah. If you drop it into lukewarm water and then gradually raise the temperature, apparently it's supposed to be much more humane. So
now
it's kind of
you should be aware that Mr. Adam Carolla and also Ryan Holiday, a famous Stoic author, both advocate cold like dips in the morning.
He jumps in the pool.
He jumps in the pool every
instead
morning.
Of showering.
But it's also because he doesn't use shampoo and stuff.
But that's a side argument. That's his other self-righteous campaign. This is sort of about stoic, being able to do that to yourself, no matter how unpleasant it is, putting yourself through that as a way of toughening yourself up and being able to tolerate and also do the unpleasant thing when you need to do it.
Interesting.
Rubin does the same thing in the Shangri-La doc that we watched. Yeah, it's like supposed to get you ready for the day and you mind over matter.
Yeah.
This took us on a journey today, you guys. We got into Carolla's bathing habits. We got into boiling frogs. We got into Antonio Brown's feet. Dr. Drew.
Getting
into chirotherapy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. All right. Dr. Drew's going to be on with much different topics and a different tone on KABC this afternoon from noon till 3, as he is every Monday through Friday. Don't forget, go to drdrew.com for all the live appearances and a great bunch of podcasts. And you can see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play. Doctor, you never fail to amaze me with the depth of your knowledge on whatever topic we throw at you every week. So thanks so much for jumping on.
A pleasure to be here, guys.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Jensen, did you get your cat anything for International Cat Day?
Just a bunch of love, man.
Yeah, no gifts necessary.
And I'm keeping him alive.
Because every day is International Cat Day at your house.
Yeah.
Dave's cat lit himself on fire trying to get away from Dave.
He did.
Quite a holiday.
That was an interesting choice to put himself on fire. We have to discuss that another time. First, though, Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Thursday morning.
Guys, Coming to America, the reboot of it, if you will. We already know, obviously, Eddie Murphy's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenio Hall is back on board as Akeem's best friend. Well, guess who else has just been added to the movie?
DJ Qualls?
DJ Qualls, you guys. Super excited. Wesley Snipes.
Beat him to the punch.
We were just talking about how he doesn't act very much.
He's going to be playing a new character called General Izzy. He's a man that rules a neighboring nation. By the way, the new movie is going to be about Akeem returning to America in order to find his long-lost son.
Ah.
So that's what the whole movie is going to be about. I like that. Wesley Snipes.
Sure. Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy. I like it.
Wakanda Forever.
By the way, what?
I said Wakanda Forever.
Why?
Because there's so many famous black actors in this movie. That doesn't sound, no association there when you start to see all these big stars lining up? Just reminds me of the big film from last year. It's the number one movie of the year you got.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
This thing on?
Jesus. Unfortunately.
My God. Can you lose the Hall of Fame thing?
I'm sure it's not too late.
It sounds racist.
Here's the thing. The director, who's probably best known for Hustle and Flow, Craig Brewer, just was working with Wesley Snipes and Eddie Murphy in Dolomite Is My Name. So I'm thinking things went real well on that set. If Eddie Murphy was like, hey, Wesley, want to join me over here if we're coming to America?
What is he doing with Jez?
It's very weird.
1920s newsreel of America?
It's what Eddie's into right now. It's very strange. I am so pumped for that.
Both of those movies sound great.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Dolomite Is My Name is set to premiere next month at the Toronto International Film Festival. So we're going to be hearing a lot about that movie coming up. Can't wait, though, for Coming to America.
Please don't take Bean to see it unless you want to hear a bunch of racist comments from the back.
This
movie's like Black Panther.
I'm just saying, it has a similar star-studded cast. That's
because of their skin color?
Yes. Stop asking.
Out of curiosity, that star-studded cast in Black Panther?
Uh-huh.
Who were they?
Yeah.
Well, there was Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
There was, what's the guy's name that
I'll
I love?
I'll even give you one. I'll give you Michael B. Jordan's in it.
Michael B. Jordan is in it?
Yep.
Who's the guy who's in everything who's great?
I think you're done. I gotta be honest. I think that's it. I mean, I'm not going to give you Chadwick because I don't
think... Yes, Chadwick Boseman, of course, the star. Yes,
he can't come up with it.
I don't think phenomenal. He was a star, you know.
Bean is a racist. Bean is a racist. Bean is a racist. Oh,
I want to apologize right now if anyone interpreted that, my remark as being racist. I was just making the comparison that it's another super, super movie. Sounds great.
It sounds like a really black movie is what you're saying.
You're not helping yourself.
It's a very black movie.
Anytime you see a black person in a movie, you yell Wakanda Forever. We know that.
It sounds racist.
Don't trust whitey.
All right. And
stop trying.
Angela Bassett, too.
You stop trying.
Was it that?
Hmm.
Okay.
Stig in a hole.
Out of curiosity, you saw Black Panther?
I have not. I've not seen it.
Yes!
But yeah. I know it was the biggest movie of 2018, though. I know that.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Dave, is there any way...
ever trust whitey.
Is there any way... What's happening could not be on the podcast today?
It goes on the podcast.
Or is that just yesterday?
We're going to put this on twice.
Wakanda Forever, just when we're talking about a black movie.
Wow. And you didn't see it.
Look.
Yeah.
Look. I don't see race.
That's all you see.
Except you do see it because...
Forrest Whitaker.
Bean is a racist. Oh, yeah.
And Sterling K. Brown. This is what I'm saying, you guys. Mm. There were a lot of great actors in Black Panther, and it sounds like the movies Ali's describing is the same.
Oh, here we go. It's on. Race war.
I don't think that's...
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down.
It's not
race
where
war.
We're...
Come on.
It's not,
race war.
Not where we're headed.
Right. To Bean's dismay.
That would be spanking.
Back to you, Alex. Let's change the topic, please.
Let me get you out of this, because this story is...
You can't get him out of it. You just have to move on.
Yeah, we're going to move
on. Act like it didn't happen.
Because this story cracks me up.
Guys, so... is today my last day?
Maybe.
Is this the farewell show?
Wow.
A lot of people are commenting on a farmer's odd choice when he proposed to his partner with an engagement ring placed on a cow udder.
Yeah, I saw that photo.
Doesn't seem sexy.
He thought, it's perfectly on brand. I'm a farmer. My now soon-to-be wife, she understands my line of work. However, once it showed up on a Facebook group called That's It, I'm Ring Shaming The Reckoning... That is a Facebook group with 18,000 people in it.
I love it.
That just shame either proposals, wedding rings, whatever. Mm. People were not impressed.
Do we know that she doesn't love it? Is she a farmer?
All that matters is that she loved it.
That's what I'm
saying.
It.
However, people were saying it's practically animal abuse.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Take it easy.
And that's coming from animal lover
that's
Bean.
That's coming from someone who has milked a cow, by the
Amen.
Way. I'm telling you, there's a lot more pressure on the teats milking a cow than there is by just putting a ring on there. I saw the picture. It's not like it was cutting off circulation or anything. A
lot of code going on right there.
Not at all. By the way, great phone topic in your fiancé hid the ring someplace so that you would discover. Because I'm sure that we have listeners who found it in the fridge, you know, who found it all sorts of different places.
In where an oyster.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In a piece of cake or whatever on a cow's udder.
You ate it and you had to wait 3 days for it?
Right.
Other people were saying, is this considered a nipple ring? other people saying, he's really trying to milk the proposal. Mm. I mean, this come sounds like on.
Other people saying, wow, she's a real cow?
Oh, I don't think that's
such a racist question.
I'm just saying. You say that's like animal abuse, but... like you're saying, Bean, it's not restricting anything. Mm-mm. If you have ever milked a cow or a goat, you got to yank those teats to the point where you're like, oh my God, I am ruining this animal's day.
It's very hard work.
Yes. If you'd like to just check out YouTube, put in Ally McKay milks a goat. You will see it's not easy, you guys. And I was double fisting.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Christina's asking that we not say the word teats. How come, Christine? What's the problem with
what
teats?
What do you think?
I think teats is fine.
That's
it
what
is.
They that's literally what and literally legitimately called. What they're called. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad word.
Right. Sounds like a bad word.
Cows don't have boobies.
Right? Calm your teats is what I'm saying.
Kind of forever.
Oh, he said it again?
Again!
Why would you go back?
Bean is a racist. Bean
racist. Oh, yeah.
I assume that's racist.
So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You guys.
He's on fire!
I don't like the color of his skin.
Okay, whoa. You're not helping.
Whoa.
You're not helping at all.
Is that your kid?
Did he get that bean footage from when he was a child? Way to go, Cracker.
Oh, come on, Allie. You're not making it any better.
All right, guys, some birthdays for you. Shawn Mendes, Megan Good, JC Chazé from NSYNC, Dustin Hoffman, The Edge from U2, from Creed, Scott Stapp, yeah! Howard Stern sidekick Robin Quivers, and tennis player Roger Federer.
Kevin, do you remember the breakfast with Creed?
Barely.
Wasn't it just you?
No, it's just one listener.
Yeah.
We did a breakfast with Creed.
So you guys opened it up to the public?
That's right.
Listener. Yeah. Yes, we opened it up to the public.
Free tickets.
All of their fans got to come. No, it was just, we gave it away to one person who came in and watched Scott Stapp perform acoustic.
Unbelievable.
You know, they sold, in the day when they sold albums, they sold over 20 million.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Huge.
Did he get
huge.
The joke that you only let one person in? Or was
I thought he was pretty cool. I think we enjoyed our visit with Scott.
I mean, do we want to trust Bean's opinion now after this? What's happening?
Probably not.
No, he'd like Scott Stapp.
That's exciting.
I didn't care for his driver. Who was a very annoying white guy. I don't know what you...
Wow!
Check,
is that
please.
Racist? Tell me the truth.
Honestly, this is how bad that joke was. I literally thought, oh, did his driver kill someone? Like, it was a
you're
story
like
in the news that
backstory.
I missed. Oh. Bean.
Guys...
Bean is a racist, Bean is a racist, Bean is a racist, oh yeah.
Anything else you want to add before?
How much can I care at this point?
It's true.
Hey, Queen.
5 p.m. commercial-free hour. If you'd like that, it's happening this afternoon thanks to a random act of helpfulness to SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Maybe.
Which has become very racist, it turns out.
It's Kevin
not
show.
Racist.
That's my jam on the program tomorrow. Keep it 100 because it's Friday, your hotel room disasters. And we've got your passes to K-Rock Six Flags Magic Mountain Takeover tomorrow morning.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.